and Answers begins right now.
You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. On a mission trip to Vietnam, Pastor Joe Onosai contracted a fatal stomach infection that nearly took his life. In a coma for almost 3 weeks, Joe was given a glimpse of the spiritual realm, and what he encountered changed his life. Discover today what Joe experienced. The last time we were together, Pat began an interview with his guest, Pastor Joe Onosai, and today we will conclude this remarkable story about how tragedy turned to triumph. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you'll find this interview entitled God's Man of War, and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now, let's jump right into the conclusion.
Any of you watch that strongman competition, you want to maybe go to YouTube and type in Joe's name. You can see him in that competition, but wow, you went on to become maybe the fourth or third strongest man in the world.
Yeah, you know, maybe 7 years after my injury, I started competing in strength sports. And, you know, a lot of it, my idea was to get strong again so I can go back into the league. But that would never materialize because the insurance companies wouldn't insure me because of the severity of my injury. But I found another avenue to compete, and I started competing in strength sports and in powerlifting. And then from powerlifting, I got to compete in the World's Strongest Men competitions that are held all over the world. And so it was great for me because I was still wanting to compete. You know, I just love sports. I love athletics. And this was an area of strength for me. And part of it, too, was I believe that God had opened doors for me to be able to share my faith as I traveled all over the world to compete. And I didn't realize at that time that, and I began to understand that God had was setting up a platform for me to be an evangelist, to travel the world, to preach the gospel. As this guy who was formerly an NFL football player or a draft pick turned World's Strongest Man competitor. And, you know, I was fortunate to not only make the finals once, but I was a finalist twice.
Yeah.
And in one of the biggest shows in the competition, I was second place in the Czech Republic. And so, you know, there's a lot of great things that happen in strongmen, but little did I know that God was actually setting it up where some preachers from different parts of the world began to invite me to come and share my testimony because people want to know, oh, why are you a preacher man when you are a strong man? You know? And it is in many places, they just don't see how that matches up. Because usually if you're a macho man, you're a strong man, you know, you don't need God, you know, you're stronger than God, you know, but they wanted to hear. And so, again, I knew when I was getting over my disappointment with the Cowboys that God had a plan, a purpose for me. It was so awesome to begin to see that plan unfold.
Yeah. And parallel your strongman career, you also started a ministry for young men. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we had a ministry called Men of War. And WAR was an acronym of wisdom, authority, and righteousness. And and the church that I was attending at that time, we were very outreach-oriented. And so I wanted to utilize my strength to go into the schools and to do these strength feats and power feats and then give them a story. And so most power teams around in America had athletes who were all Americans and professional athletes. The funny thing is that when I started a power team here, our power team was made up of gangsters and ex-convicts and, you know, just your regular Joes. And yet I think God was able to use our stories, you know, that really hit home with a lot of the people that we were reaching out to. And so, and but not only that, but being able to see those that were part of the team become discipled and become strong Christians themselves and believers that went on to have great families.
Yeah, you know, so looking back now, can you see how God had a plan in it all? It wasn't what you had expected, but somehow there was a plan there. And even though you couldn't see it at that time, looking back, what kind of lessons do you think you learned from that experience? And what encouragement would you give to people who are in the midst of that dark time, their business has failed, or their career plans have come to an end. Maybe they've lost a child in a miscarriage there. What would you say to that kind of person?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you just got to persevere in your faith and totally trust God. I believe that God has a purpose and plan for our lives. The word purpose means the original intention of a thing or the reason why something exists. And I really believe that. I really believe that God has a purpose and plan for our lives. I mean, we have our own plans, but God has His plans.
Yeah.
And ultimately, as a Christian, my goal has always been, God, I want your plans. Yeah, my plans are minuscule and insignificant compared to your plans. And ultimately, I want to make sure the ladder that I climb is on the right wall and not climbing up the wrong wall, right?
Uh-huh.
And if it's on the wrong side of the wall, you know, it's your goals and your dreams. You get up there and it's like, okay, God said, that's nice, but that's not what I called you to do, you know? I want to be able to ultimately stand before God and say, man, I did my best, you know, in what you called me to do. And that takes a lot of trust.
Yeah.
It takes so much trust, knowing that I can't figure everything out. Things don't make sense to me right now. I don't know the details, but Lord, just continue to guide me and lead me. And that's where Proverbs 3:3-5, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. All you was acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. And I totally trusted that. Totally, I said, Lord, just, you know, I remember after I came back from Dallas, in between the Cowboys and Strongman, I was in that middle area where I didn't know what to do with my life. And my wife looked at me, she says, well, some of the money that you brought from the Cowboys is running out. It might be a good time for you to go get a job. And I had no giftings and didn't know what I wanted to do. A friend of mine gave me a job as a laborer in the construction. And I remember we were working on a new wing of the hospital, the Queens Hospital. And we were working on a foundation and we were just digging ditches every single day. So every single day from 7 in the morning to 6 at night, we were just shoveling dirt, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember being at the bottom of that pit and I'm thinking to myself, you know, several years ago, I was about to make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
Yeah.
Struggling, you know, and at the bottom of this pit. And I remember I said, Lord God, I don't fully understand you, but maybe this is the place where you're going to start helping me to rebuild towards your plan and your purpose. And I remember at the bottom of that pit, man, I cried. Of course, I didn't want anybody to see me cry because I was so trying to be macho, but I didn't care. I didn't care if people saw me crying. I was like, I just knew that, God, I needed you to guide me and lead me because the pain is too great, you know. And sure enough, from that moment on, things just began to fall into place. Wasn't easy, but God began to give me understanding and patience.
Yeah, and that's the journey for many of us, learning to trust God. And as Joe is explaining here, it's not easy. It can take many years of just
wrestling. I think God has a sense of humor, too, because my last name, Onosai, actually means patience in Samoan.
Oh, wow.
And so my wife always laughs. She says, yeah, God has a sense of humor to get the most impatient man and name him Patience. And so I learned a lot of patience during those times.
Yeah, Joe, now you've had a remarkable journey since then as a pastor, which we'll get into later. But you recently went on a mission trip to Vietnam and nearly lost your life. Tell us about that experience.
I went to Vietnam and I believe these are what I had a team of doctors oversee an illness that I got that nearly cost my life. And several of the doctors felt like it was a bacteria that I perhaps might have caught when I was up in Vietnam. And I'm not one to, I love culture. I love visiting different nations. When I hear foreign language, something leaps in my heart because I just have a heart for the nations. And we were ministering all over Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh, in Da Nang, in Hanoi, and having some great meetings. But when we were in Da Nang, some of the pastors were telling me that, Joe, if you love pho soup, the best pho soup is in this place, and we want to take you there. And I said, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, it was one of those outdoor vendors, and I'm not one to eat at outdoor vendors. Just don't know. I might get sick or something. Well, sure enough, I ate the soup, and I thought it was great, but I didn't think it was any better than any of the soup that I had here in Hawaii. But little did I know that it was a bacteria that I caught that began to eat away at my stomach lining. And I didn't realize that it was the beginning of sepsis and a major infection that was inside of my body.
Now, Joe, it was pretty severe. You came back to Hawaii and you ended up in a hospital bed in a coma for, what was that, 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, nearly 4 weeks. And I was cutting grass and I noticed that using my weed whacker, and sometimes the rock would hit my shin and leave a little cut. And, you know, I just let it go because it usually heals up pretty quick. Well, this time it didn't heal and it got infected. And I thank God now that it got infected. And I started getting the chills and started getting feverish because it led me to go to the hospital. My youngest daughter is a registered nurse and she began to see all the symptoms of just major infection. And she said, "Dad, you need to go to the hospital." And I would put it off and kept putting it off. And one day I would say, you know, I'll preach the message on Sunday morning, then I'll go afterwards to the hospital. Well, on our way to church, I told my wife, I said, "You know what? We need to go to the hospital right now because I'm starting to feel a lot of pain in my stomach." And so anyway, I thought I was going to the hospital and I didn't wake up to almost 2 weeks later.
Wow.
You know, I realized, my wife told me, you know, they had you in induced coma for a week and then you've been on a lot of powerful drugs to keep the pain level down. And so I was really not conscious and knowing my surroundings till 2 weeks being in the hospital.
Yeah, and you had major operation there to repair your stomach. But in that coma, what did you experience there? This is something very, very amazing, I think, in what you experienced at that time.
My wife kept saying that I kept waking up and pointing to the ceiling and kept, you know, looking out of the window of my room. And I kept pointing towards something. And I told her, I said, I see this. And I didn't. Later, when I became conscious, she asked me, what was I seeing? And I told my wife, I said, "All I saw was an army and a legion of warriors from miles, miles away. I could see the mountainside, the Kunia Mountains, and all the way to the hospital room that I was just surrounded with these mighty warriors." And she said that every day, you know, every time I'd wake up, I would always point to them. And then there were times I felt like, you know, because I told my wife, I said, it was so interesting because I felt like I had actually died, you know. Mm-hmm. And every time I would see my family lining up in front of me and like introducing themselves or saying hello to me. Mm. And I would ask them the question and I said, "Did I die?" And they would smile at me and say, "No, you're doing good. You're doing good." And that happened almost every day as well. And so, you know, I tell them, I said, "You know, I know for sure medically I did not flatline, but I feel like I did cross over and I feel like I did die." And, you know, of course, you know, for me, it's been a process because my wife and my daughters took photos and videos of me going through that whole month. And they helped me clarify things and tell me what was going on. And because I didn't really know what was going on, but they said that every day you saw something and you kept talking about it. And even one day you said, because there was one scene when I saw all these older warriors, you know, and they were bald head, white hair, bearded guys. And I tell my wife, "I want to cut my hair like that." Mm. And she's like, "Oh, that's not a problem. You're going bald anyway and you're getting gray too." So I think you're going to get there in a little bit. But she kept saying that, you know, I kept pointing to the ceiling and that I would see, I'll be looking around and that I saw these. And I really felt when I came to I felt like I could finally realize what's going on. I feel like I saw a host of angels, the mighty angels that surrounded me. And so that was very comforting for me.
Yeah, you know, Joe, and for those of you listening, we've done a series on what's called near-death experiences or NDEs. And these are experiences where people, their spirit or soul, because as believers in Christ, we know we have an immaterial side to us called the spirit or the soul in the body that separates from the body at death. But many people who've had near-death experiences will see, for example, someone that gets into a car crash they may be above the scene and being able to identify, you know, the number of the ambulance that came and the people or people who've died on the bed of operation are looking from above and can tell you everything that happened, or miles away, what happened at their home. And that's very well documented, over 300 medical journals. But some of these NDEs happen, you know, before people flatline. Like there are experiences where someone is about to be in a car wreck, and it's going to be a pretty bad one, and they can see what's happening from above already. So, yeah, Joe, perhaps you saw maybe into the spiritual realm. And it seems to, you know, you and I understand that experience is not the ultimate test of truth. It's God's word. But, you know, that seems to be consistent with God's word here. You know, what comes to mind immediately when you told me about that was 2 Kings chapter 6, where the Syrians were coming to attack Israel there, and Elisha, his servants over there going, oh man, what are we going to do? We got this huge army of thousands coming after us. And Elisha looks at him and says, well, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are greater than those who are out there. And the servant must have thought, you're nuts. And then Elisha prays to the Lord that he opens up his servant's eyes. And when the servant's eyes look, the mountainsides, both, are filled, the text says, with men on chariots of fire. You know, and that's the angelic crowd, the angelic warriors there. And when Christ was born in the Gospel of Luke there, the angels saw, it says, a myriad of angels. So it seems consistent with what the Bible is saying here.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my wife shared with me too, you know, about Elisha, servant, eyes opened, you know. And, you know, I can only share what I saw. And what I saw was just an amazing sea of warriors. I mean, they were just linked arms, ready for battle. I mean, they were all over my room. They were around the hospital at Queens West, you know. And it definitely brought comfort to me knowing that I was surrounded. And as you say, you know, experience is one thing, and being able to find scripture reference for it definitely, for me, confirms it. But yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. Well, to the best of your ability, what they look like?
What they look like?
Yeah.
They were a mixture. I don't know. They were older men, you know. They could have been younger, but the ones that I saw closer to me were older guys. And I say old because they were all white hair, you know. And I don't know if it was just the glory on them that was reflection of their hair. But yeah, I can't give you the details, except I know that they were mean-looking dudes that you didn't want to mess with.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's consistent with scripture. You know, I mean, when angels appeared, at first they were afraid, and the angel has to tell them, hey, don't be afraid. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, I saw angels, and I'd be like, whoa. Well, Joe, how has that encounter changed your life? You know, everyone who's had these kinds of experiences, if they're genuine experiences, not made up, really has had an impact on their life in many ways.
Well, I think there's something about devastation that brings desperation. Yeah. And I know that ever since I came out of the hospital, it's been 6 months now, almost 6 months. I think anybody close to me will tell you that I'm living a little bit different than I lived before that 6 months event that almost took my life. And I think because of the devastation I went through, it gives you perspective. It's an awakening for me, and I welcome that. And I think all of us, even before the show, we were talking about every Christian will go through their seasons when they're passionate and on fire, and then you start getting comfortable, and then you kind of lose your focus, and then God revives your heart and he stokes the fire again. And I think for me, 6 months ago, this event in my life has radically changed me. I think my church can tell you that my sermons are always laced with compassion and passion because of the perspective that I have. And so my family probably will tell you as well that when I'm with them, I enjoy being with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm the typical guy that wants to achieve things and do things very goal-oriented. And sometimes you use people to get to where you need to be. And then you forget to enjoy the relationships and how God has blessed you with people around your life. And I think I definitely have learned to appreciate my family and my friends even more.
Yeah, and I remember you said something funny on the golf course the other day. The Bible
besides
talks about,
playing funny?
Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about angels being ministers of fire and servants of those who will inherit salvation. And one of their jobs is to guard those in Christ so we can accomplish the mission that he has called us to. And you said, some of us, you know, our angels are next to us being bored. Tell us about that.
Yeah, because I challenge my church that, you know, sometimes, you know, to live a life of faith and the care of God's plan takes faith, you know. Mm-hmm. It really does take faith. And sometimes we become so fearful or we are intimidated, so we don't take the risk. And so I say, hey, you know, our goal in life should not be to arrive safely at our death, mm-hmm. you know. But because I said, I think some of our angels, our guardian angels, are bored because we don't do nothing.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. We're not willing to attempt anything that involves risk. And so we want everything to be safe harbor. Mm-hmm. And yet really our faith is tested when we're out there in the choppy seas.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 that we're in a spiritual battle. And in fact, throughout the New Testament, it uses a lot of terms of war and battle, that we're on enemy territory here right now, and we're to engage until the king comes. And so I think one of the things you bring up here is that, you know, the angelic warfare that is going on, we are in enemy territory right here.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that Christians many times forget, mm-hmm. that there is a world that's more real than the world that we yeah. We live in a temporary world, right?
Yeah.
And there's an eternal world out there that sometimes we forget. That,
yeah.
That's totally real. And so that's why we get beat up and bust up, mm-hmm. you know, as we say in Hawaii. So, yeah, we need to be more aware of our spiritual surroundings.
Yes. You've been listening to our interview with Pastor Joe Onosai of Destiny Church, who's sharing his remarkable journey with us. Joe, as we close this segment of the show, man, and all that you've been through in your life, so one final word of exhortation you want to give to believers and disciples of Christ out there?
You know, life is not an easy thing, right? Life is difficult. And I think if you think you can do life apart from Christ, you've already behind the wall, right? You've lost. And I think for me, not only having Christ, but also trusting Christ throughout my journey has been so important, because you're going to go through ups and downs. And, you know, a lot of preachers today will try to get you to come to Christ, because Christ will bless your life and he will make your life easy and all that. And that's mm-hmm. not being truthful. You
yeah.
know, life happens and life is imperfect and life can sometimes be difficult. But life can be enjoyable when you understand that there's a process and there's a purpose in our lives. And I think for me, the biggest thing that I'd like to leave is with you guys who are listening is that trust God and trust the process. You know, there's a process in fulfilling God's plan and purpose in our lives. The process may be long. Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but I hate process.
Mm-hmm.
When God gives me an idea, I want it to be complete in one day. But there's certain things that God's building in us that just takes process and takes time. And if you just be patient, I think in the end, we will be happy with what God has done with our lives.
Yes, and it's a learning process. It just doesn't happen overnight. And so one of the things, as you're saying, to be patient there and just trust God all the way. Well, you've been listening to the story of Pastor Joe Onosai, pastor of Destiny Church here in Hawaii. So you come to the islands, it's a great church to visit there. Destiny Church, kind of right in the middle of our island here on Oahu in Hawaii. So Joe, thanks for being with us here on Evidence and Answers to share your story with us.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukerman.